Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, as you see, would you read it aloud with me? God Takes Sin Seriously. Not an easy message to preach this morning. A hard message to bring. I'd rather, much rather being a happy, 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 happy. We'll find the joy of the Lord in this message. But first, we need to see the seriousness of our sin. I invite you to turn your handout over to the back. You'll find an outline for the message as we consider our theme, God Takes Sin Seriously. Listen again to just a few verses of that gospel reading. A very difficult gospel reading this morning. Listen to what it says. Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it'd be better for him if with a heavy millstone tied around his neck, he'd been cast into the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life crippled than having two hands and go into hell. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life lame than having two feet to be cast into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than have two eyes and be cast into hell." It's almost hard for the pastor to say, here ends the Holy Gospel. This is tough business. I'll warn you this morning, the devil does not want you to listen to this message. He wants you to doze off. He wants you to think of 100 other things. But God wants you to hear this message. God wants to speak to your heart and my heart today. What shocking language from Jesus. Your foot, your hands, your eye causes you to sin. Cut it out. Pluck them off. That'll make you sit up and pay attention. Why such shocking language from Jesus? Because today we need to be shocked. We need to be awakened to see how serious and destructive that sin is. Because today, contrary to everyone around us and the society in which we live, contrary to that attitude, God takes sin seriously. Today, sin is often just winked at. And even the word sin is disappearing from our vocabulary. Instead, we hear about such things like lifestyle choices or personal freedoms. And maybe, if someone is maybe caught in an act of wrongdoing, it's called a lapse of judgment or a temporary moment of weakness. Oh, and we should always strive to be open-minded and politically correct and never in polite public ever mention the word sin. If you were paying attention to the news in the Lower Mainland this last year, an elected official, a government worker from Surrey, who happened, by the way, to be Sikh, in a respectful way, expressed his views about the excessive vulgarities and distasteful trappings of the Vancouver yearly gay pride parade. And if you saw any newspapers or websites or listened to the news, this man was viciously attacked for even raising the question about such matters. But unlike that, our gospel reading and our sermon text for today speaks clearly about sin and in graphic, poetic language. We're told if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That is to say, do not actually cripple yourself, no. But take sin seriously and avoid it. And what is that millstone that's to be tied around our neck? Verse 42 says that if we cause someone new in the faith, or a child or someone with childlike faith, to sin and fall away from God, I quote, a millstone should be hung around our neck. and we should be cast into the sea. Note the sermon slide. Ewald has found a great picture of a millstone. A millstone is a large, large round stone driven by the power of a donkey walking in circles. This large stone is circled on top of another flat stone to crush wheat into flour. And the stone weighs hundreds of pounds, as much as probably my Toyota in the parking lot. Jesus here says that whoever causes a childlike person or a child to sin and fall away from God, it would be better that a millstone be tied around his neck and him thrown into the sea than to let God get a hold of him. This poetic and graphic picture declares this truth. Sin is serious, and God takes sin seriously. But one problem is this. We too easily notice the sins of others, but overlook our own sin. We may just pluck our tongues and shake our heads at such monstrous sinners like, Jeffrey Dahmer, who murdered young men and desecrated their bodies. Or Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka from Ontario, who are responsible for torturing and killing a number of teenage girls. Or even someone like Adolf Hitler, responsible for the death of millions. But maybe we don't have to look that far away as we're pointing our fingers at people we consider to be monstrous sinners. Maybe we dwell on the sins of our neighbors. Or some of our family members, you know who I'm talking about, or our friends. But even as we're doing that, we do not want to consider honestly the sins of that person we see every morning when we look in the mirror in the washroom of our own homes. And if we consider the passages of Holy Scripture, maybe we think of somebody like King David, who committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba and personally had her husband Uriah be put to death on the field of battle. All the while he continued to live as the king of Israel as if it were no big deal. Perhaps later today, go home and take some time with 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. You'll see this account. There we find King David doing what we find it so easy to do, looking at the sins of others, being blinded to our own. Finally, God brings to David a prophet named Nathan, who holds up to him the mirror of God's word. David can no longer escape his sin, and Nathan speaks these famous words to David that he also speaks to us. He said, "You are the man." Today, this sermon text, are you beginning to see how it's hard for me to preach this? This sermon text calls us to look into the mirror of God's word and clearly see our own sin. Romans 3:23 says this, "For we have all sinned. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When you and I look into the mirror of God's word, each of us must say, in the words of Mark 9 this morning, "I have sinned with my hand by what I have done. I have sinned with my foot by the path I have taken. I have sinned with my eye by the things I have lusted for and coveted." And if we take a deeper look at our lives, and the choices we've made, and the paths we've gone down over the years, we must come to another conclusion. Our own deeds and words have not always pointed others to God. Sometimes our deeds and words have driven people away from Him. Each of us must confess, not only have I sinned, I have caused others to sin and stray from God. My goodness! According to the text, that heavy millstone should be tied around our neck. Today's text in Mark chapter 9 says this, "Check your neck." Go ahead. Check your neck. come face to face with your own sin. Look into the mirror of God's law and don't look there for anybody else. Look for yourself. Romans 6 tells us the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Well, when you have a job, you get paid a wage. Wages are what you get paid for the work that you do. And God's word says clearly, we sin and the wages due to us are the wages of death, God's wrath and punishment. We are that man Nathan told David about. We can't just point out the sins of others. Our neck bears the heaviness of that millstone. And according to Revelation chapter 18, we are to be thrown down into the depths of the sea, never to be found again. Now, if we stopped this sermon here this morning, we would be without hope. If we stopped this sermon here this morning, we would never be able to get right with God. If we stopped this sermon here this morning, we would be in the same situation people were in the 1500s during the time of Martin Luther. People then knew they were sinners. The church made sure they knew they were sinners. And the so-called solution they were given at that time, the solution that never could work, was to try to make God happy. Try to avert His wrath by doing good deeds, by doing religious activities, by making never-ending financial contributions. This only led the people to fear and to despair. How much would ever be enough? But then came God's servant, Pastor Martin Luther, to usher in a new reformation of the church. This reformation powerfully led people away from fear and hopeless dependence on their works and led them to the sweet, sweet news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that we have a Savior. We have a Savior who came to pay for our sins, who came to lay His life on Calvary's cross to pay for the sins of the world, thank God for mine and for yours, to stand between us and the righteous anger of Almighty God, to die in our place and to rise in victory for those He loves so dearly. This Reformation happened almost 500 years ago. And on the last Sunday of October, as we will, a month from this Sunday, we'll celebrate Reformation Sunday again. But such a reformation is needed each and every day of our lives to turn us around to the sweet gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. In the words and images of Mark 9 text, that difficult gospel reading for this morning, here's the sweet gospel. Are you ready? You heard the bad news. Here's the good news. You heard the law. Here's the gospel. The millstone that we deserve has been tied around Jesus' neck. The Bible says that Jesus has become sin for us. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You want some good news? Listen to this passage. God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God the Heavenly Father tied the millstone of your sin and mine on Jesus' neck. And Jesus bore that sin as He hung upon that cross. He bore your sin. He became your sin. He took God's judgment for your sin. He died in your place. But He rose. Yes, He rose on Easter Sunday. bursting forth from the tomb, bursting forth from the power of sin, death, and the devil. And what he did for you. My millstone, your millstone, has been untied, and it has been broken into 1,000 pieces. You need never bear it again. You want some good news this morning? It's my pleasure to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, your sins are forgiven. Your millstone has been taken off your neck. It has been shattered into 1,000 pieces at the cross and empty grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. So do me a favor this morning. I know it's a hokey thing, but take your right hand and check your neck. Check your neck. Your millstone has been removed. You need not bear your sin any longer. Oh, check your neck at every baptism. Were you watching carefully this morning? Did you see the millstone of sin taken off of Natasha's neck? Thrown into the sea forever. You are free. Your sins are forgiven. Praise God. Check your neck at every baptism. Be reminded as you are baptized into Christ, the millstone has been removed. Oh, check your neck. Every time the Lord's Supper is celebrated, for what are the words of our Lord Jesus as we receive this bread and wine, his true body and blood? He says, take and eat, take and drink, given and shed for you. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. Your millstone has been removed. In Alberta, by the way, if you're following the sermon outline, here's where we've just rounded third and we're heading toward home. The sermon's almost over. Where Beverly and I used to live in Alberta, there was a little town just south of us named Wetaskiwin. This is a Cree Indian word which means the hills of peace. Let me tell you how it got its name. When the first Christian missionaries came to that area in Alberta, they were opposed fiercely by the Cree Indian chief whose name was Maskipatun. But through the loving work of these missionaries, Maskipatun became a follower of Christ, and he was baptized. Shortly after, though, his father was killed by an enemy tribe, the Blackfeet. Maskipatun rode his horse into the enemy camp, and he demanded that the killer be brought to him. By tribal law, he had the right to put this man to death. When he addressed the killer, here is what he said, and I quote, "You have killed my father. Now today, you must become my father. You shall ride my best horse. You shall wear my best clothes." Now, tribal warfare could have broke out in those hills, but instead, they became known as the Hills of Peace, Wetaskiwin. Maskipatun could have put to death the killer. In the words of today's gospel lesson, he could have tied a millstone around his neck and cast him into the sea. But instead, in the name of Christ, he removed the millstone and he forgave that man as his sins had been forgiven by your Savior Jesus. My friends, leave here this morning knowing one thing. Your sins have been forgiven by Jesus, your Savior. Go ahead. Check your neck. The millstone has been removed. You can live as God's child by forgiving others and serving others in the name of Christ. Now back to our sermon title. Answer me this question, will you? Does God take sin seriously? He surely does. But here's the good news. He takes forgiveness even more seriously. God is in the forgiveness business. So, check your neck and give thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.